Welcome to the School Sucks Project, a podcast, YouTube channel, and online community dedicated to personal growth and intellectual self-defense.
We promote learning alternatives, home education, critical thinking, peaceful parenting, organization and productivity, and better communication strategies.
Please remember to visit schoolsucksproject.com to get comprehensive show notes, relevant links,
or to just leave comments.
Follow us on Twitter at School Sucks Show. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, username School Sucks Podcast, and get involved in our Facebook group. Just search for School Sucks Project.
Hey everybody, this is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks. Today is Tuesday, March 26th. For years, I have dropped some of our bonus content into the regular podcast feed just to let all of the folks who enjoy the show for free, which is fine. Thank you for your time. Thanks for listening. But just to let all of you who've never been supporting listeners know, hey, I'm not lying about those hundreds and hundreds of hours of additional content. But I'm also very aware of the fact that all of you have a lot to listen to. So, you know, when we think about managing our inputs and managing our time, deciding what we're going to listen to, most of you probably don't find it terribly enticing to hear a man say that he has 500 hours of additional content that he wants you to have. If somebody came up to me and said I have 500 hours of audio for you to listen to, I would interpret that as a threat. I'd probably call the police. But listener support is an absolutely essential part of what we do. If I just imagine a world without listener support, I don't even know if we could keep the website up or the podcast up. And I think you'll agree, if you're listening to me right now, that podcast contains an impressive amount, at this point, of free educational resources. The people who support this show ensure that that material will continue to be free to the people who need it most, the people I originally designed this message for. And this is a great time for the discovery of School Sucks. There's more young people listening to podcasts than ever before. And I'm not just saying that because more people are listening to podcasts than ever before. The percentage of podcast listeners who are young people who are under 24 years old is also higher than it's ever been before. So it's very important to me that we can maintain these archives and make them discoverable for people who need this message, right? They might be getting plenty of messages about, you know, why they should be progressives or why they should be conservatives. But I really feel like we've done a fine and consistent job of striking the root of so many political, social, educational, and cultural ills on this show. And we've offered a lot of solutions. And I've been working hard over the past few months to organize those solutions and to make them more presentable and comprehensible on First Encounter at schoolsucksproject.com. And that is an ongoing project. When it comes to supporting the show, for a long time there was one way, the AV Club. And then for the last couple of years, there's been two ways, the AV Club and Patreon. And Patreon still exists. They haven't banned me. They haven't created any trouble for me. They still pay me every month. But the future there is very uncertain. Like I've said before, if you support the show on Patreon, I'd really appreciate if you would continue to do that. But when all of the Sargon of Akkad controversy took place a couple of months ago, I found myself scrambling to provide people another option. And I found one. It was called Subscribestar. And I barely promoted it because until this week, I did not feel like there was enough there to justify $6 a month. That's what we ask on Subscribestar for support. But now I am very, very excited and proud of what is on our page at subscribestar.com/schoolsucksproject. You can also link to it right in the show notes for this show. In this new support option, I have trimmed things down considerably, and I've created a platform for accessing what I think is the best bonus content we've produced, which is the Discomfort Zone, the first time we've ever produced at School Sucks regular content for supporting listeners. We're about to record the fifth episode in our second season, and the feedback that we've received on the Discomfort Zone from supporting listeners has just been tremendous. It's been very, very encouraging. We focus on topics in personal development, emotional and physical health, time management, entrepreneurship, goal setting, organization. I even recently received a handwritten letter from a listener thanking me for covering some very personal topics in a recent show. But to most of you, 99% of you or so, the Discomfort Zone isn't real. You've never heard any of it. It's just three words that I say sometimes on the show, trying to entice you to support us. Today, I want you to hear it and decide for yourself if this is something that you want more of or need more of. And I also know that personal development, blah, blah, isn't that what, like, half the internet doing some version of that. I wouldn't want to just do a show And I hope you know this from having listened to School Sucks for a while. It's bland and cliche and predictable. I do this show with Andrew, one of my best friends. Andrew and I do another podcast together that I haven't told you about. See, here's the other thing. Okay, I think I'm very funny. I am almost positive that I am very funny. But the style of humor that I do best is not family friendly. And a lot of it, even if it occurs when I'm doing a monologue or recording an interview, a lot of it gets edited out. I'm not saying School Sucks. You know School Sucks is not like PC. But the style of humor that I really appreciate and I think I really practice skillfully is very not PC. In fact, I'm going to be sprinkling some of this as little bonuses through the Subscribestar feed, political and cultural commentaries, 15 minutes here, maybe an hour and 45 minutes, somewhere else. But some of this stuff, given what we know about the politics of Patreon, I would be afraid to put this stuff there. So you'll get to hear one sample of the Discomfort Zone today. This is Season 2, Episode 3. Plus, if you like our communication style on the Discomfort Zone, you will also get to enjoy little supplemental audios and videos where we revisit, you know, one that we did recently. Here's an example. We went back and found this episode of Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher from 1999, where Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla are debating two feminists. And we had a field day doing an analysis of this. We'll also do like entertainment stuff. People are always asking for more entertainment stuff, but not just like the regular run-of-the-mill predictable entertainment commentary that other people are doing. I want to go back in time. I want to excavate. I want to tell you how Kanye West ruined Mike Myers' career and do a slow, awkward commentary of that incident. And that's already been done. It's already up on Subscribestar. But please remember that everything that we do, everything that you see here up until right now has been made possible by listener support in one form or another. And today I'm excited to announce and present to you a sample of a new form, what I think is currently our most affordable as far as like a recurring contribution is concerned, and also our most streamlined and curated premium content area. And instead of 500 hours, right now there's about 30 hours of material. That's very manageable in the Subscribestar, available again at subscribestar.com/schoolsucksproject. We conceive the Discomfort Zone. Andrew, my friend, who has been on an incredible, inspiring upward path for the last couple years as far as like personal growth is concerned, this was his idea. And when he pitched it to me, I said, this is the thing that I've been looking for. This could be the greatest value for value exchange that I've ever been able to do on a consistent basis, on a regular basis. I think we're averaging 3 Discomfort Zones a month since we started. And I would do more. And I would bring in listeners, you know, who want to give us advice or who want advice from us or feedback from us on things they're working on. We're already talking about that. We already have a couple people in the queue. It will probably be happening soon. But this is like a real value for value exchange. Like, honestly, I just haven't been able to do before with supporter only content. And that's one of the reasons why the feedback and the encouragement that we've received from people whose opinions I really value has been so meaningful. And I'm excited that thousands and thousands of people will get to hear at least a sample of this week. I hope after listening to this, you will consider supporting our mission, our message, and the projection of that message to the people who need it most for free by going to subscribestar.com/schoolsucksproject. And just a final note on format. The way the Discomfort Zone works, since most of you are jumping into this like 15 episodes into it, it's kind of like a two-man mastermind meeting. It follows a loose format. And like a mastermind, it begins with some encouragement. So each participant lists a weekly win, pretty much the accomplishment of the week. We have our own name for it. Then, depending on what kind of week it's been, either one of us or both of us will bring up a greatest discomfort, the thing that is the biggest problem, some obstacle that we're having trouble getting over, and we'll discuss it and we'll give each other feedback and advice about it. And then finally, there will be an action of accountability, something that we need to do before the next time we meet. So a lot of mastermind meetings run using a very similar format. I should also tell you before we begin, this program contains strong language, adult themes, name calling, some of the worst names too. So if you're listening with children, be advised. Thank you so much for taking the time to check this out, and take care.
Stay in motion. New tasks are easier to add when I'm already busy.
Like, it's easier to take on new movements when you're already in motion.
Yeah.
If you're on the couch covered in crumbs and somebody throws a basketball at you, you're like, what the fuck? Right? But if you're already jogging,
crumbs everywhere.
You're jogging through the neighborhood and somebody goes, hey, catch. You go, yeah, thanks, Steve.
Or you can just punch throw it back. The basketball right back at them.
Yeah.
Cool
yeah.
stuff like that.
Yeah.
Welcome to Season 2, Meeting 3 of The Discomfort Zone. Hey, Andrew.
How did you even know if I was ready?
Are you ready?
It doesn't matter.
Well, not being ready is very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the weekly win, the weekly dick punching.
Yeah.
Then you started the show, so I'll continue thinking about it while you talk.
All right. Well, you know, I like to try and punch the world in the dick every week at least once. And, you know, it's something that kind of needed to be done anyway, but I was proud of releasing my 600th episode of School Sucks, something I put a lot of work into, and now I can move on to other projects finally, and I got a lot of them, so I kind of got hung up. This is something that, you know, through block scheduling and color-coding my calendar, I can see how much time I'm spending on various types of tasks, and even with the labels, specific projects. And I looked back at the week and I was like, geez, I've spent too much time on this.
What percentage?
Oh, God. 30-40%
Wow.
Working on this. Reworking on this. It was, well, I also, sometimes the Audacity that I record on this, the studio computer, it defaults to the webcams. And I recorded 40 minutes of monologue on webcam audio.
Oh, no.
So I had to redo that whole thing. That slowed me down. Because once that happened, I kind of gave up for a while. Glad to have that done. Did you hear it?
I did. I liked it.
Good.
And I especially liked it because when you talk about me, I always like it more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I did. But in the original show, it sounded like I was criticizing you because the conversation got switched around too fast.
Yeah, whatever. You can criticize me. I don't care.
No, no, no.
I should be able to take it.
Well, it was kind of saying that Andrew helps me pick music now sometimes. And he's good. He has good instincts for it. But it didn't appear that way in the regular show because the conversation got all jumbled. So it sounded like I was saying you were the guy who was the problem.
Yeah, I could be the problem.
No, you're not.
But
you're the solution.
I want to be the problem sometimes.
Oh, coming up on Puke in the Gang today.
Oh, no.
I've got all kinds of new insights about your dream sequence.
Oh, really?
That we talked about. For people who do not listen to Puke in the Gang, what are you even doing with yourselves? You've got to start listening to that show. The most recent episode... A Man Comes at the End is the title. You're going to want to hear that one. It is superb.
Even I haven't heard it.
Oh, I listened back to it, and that's how I got all these new insights. You had a sequence of four dreams.
Four?
Yeah, that you described at the end of the show.
I only wrote down three.
Oh, you had four.
It's in my
Oh, we'll get into
journal.
It. We'll get into it on Puke in the Gang. Coming up today, if you're listening to the recording of this, you missed it, but it will be up soon, so check that out.
Well, congratulations on your 600th show. That's a lot of shows.
It's actually like my 640th show, and if you count bonus content, it's probably... Ooh, that would be something if it was the 1,000th piece of content.
Is it that close?
I mean, with all the bonus stuff, sure. It's
wow.
Probably over 1,000.
That's a lot of bonus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's got to be like 300 and something things. Maybe 400 and something things.
I'm trying to think. It feels like it's been 2 weeks since we had our last meeting.
Has it? Have we let that much time go by?
Yeah, and at first I thought, you know, I don't feel like I've done much. Like anything notable.
Right.
And then I started looking back through my little journal thing, which I've been focusing more on compared to last episode.
Okay. In what way?
Being a little more deliberate with it.
All right.
And I'll get into the different ways in a minute, but looking back through the journal since the last discomfort zone, actually I implemented quite a few changes that seem small, and maybe they are, and we'll see if they're going to work or not. But yeah, I guess my weekly dick punching is I got over a couple of hurdles that were easy to just put up and kind of turn away from. One hurdle was part of this hurdle, taxes.
Uh-huh.
So, listeners, I have a habit of doing taxes on an average of about every 3 years.
Yes.
And in the past, it wasn't that big of a deal because usually I got a return.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I did taxes was purely just to meet the requirements so I could get a mortgage and buy a house.
Right.
And that kind of kicked me into gear. I'm like, oh, shit, I better do taxes for like 2012, 13, and 14.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. Over the past year, I've been telling myself I'm going to do taxes for 15, 16, 17.
Yeah.
Now we can throw 18 on there.
Oh, jeez.
And for 15, 16, 17, they're not that bad because I was a W-2 employee. The problem is I have to calculate it out my mileage for deductions and maximize that.
Yeah.
And that's a ton of time. So throughout 2018, I made it through 2015's taxes, submitted those, got a return. Great. And then just went, well, that's enough of that.
That like, is enough
that's
of
as
that.
Much effort as I put into this in my entire life combined.
Right.
And now I did it all at once, and I don't want to continue.
Oh, of course.
However, in 2018, I sold a house.
Yeah.
Left my W-2 job officially at the end of 2017.
Yeah.
I started a 1099 job, which makes taxes a little more
I'd say much more complicated.
Yeah, probably. I don't really know because I haven't done them yet.
No, I mean, I had to, when I started going 1099, I had to hire somebody to do it. So the fact that you're trying to do it on your own for multiple years is... That's something.
Well, I'm paying someone to do, well, I don't know yet. I guess for the 1099 part, I might pay somebody to do it, but you can just follow TurboTax and do all that. The problem is maximizing the deductions takes a lot of work and going back and calculating this, that, and the other. Like I got the home office deduction. That's pretty easy. The mileage is the hard part, but I was smart enough in 2018 to use an app to track all of my business miles. So that should be fairly easy.
Yeah.
However, also in 2018, I formed two LLCs, and one of the LLCs closed on a property and spent a bunch of money. So I thought, I have no idea how to do that. That's going to be this big problem. So I called my accountant man. Actually, he called me and said, hey, your corporate taxes are due on March 15th. And I went,
he wants you to pay him quarterly.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Really?
And in a perfect world, yeah.
Okay.
But they're due on March 15th.
Okay.
So I called him up and I said, look, I'm a real piece of shit when it comes to taxes.
Here's That's the wrong attitude. You're a real rebel.
Right.
You're like the Han Solo of taxes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Just like I'm the Han Solo of car registration?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I'm sure it's going to work out great in the end. So I call him up and I just said, look, I know you want my corporate taxes, but here's my situation. Went through the quick history and I said, just did 15, still got to do 16, 17, 18 for Andrew, not including LLCs. So what do I prioritize? Do I go chronologically or is the LLC taxes, does that take precedent?
Mm-hmm.
So he said, yeah, get those out of the way and then go back chronologically. And I said, okay, well, I'll see if I can do it. That very day, I just buckled down late at night and crammed through them. And I submitted every document, everything I needed to do. It wasn't that hard.
That's amazing. That's great. There should be some kind of statute of limitations, like a number of years back they could go, but you're within whatever that number of years is.
I think I want to have multiple different options to get funding to buy
exactly.
more property.
So you need all that stuff up to date.
Not necessarily, but it does open up the door to more options if I have it all in order.
It's helpful.
Yes.
Right.
Like I can go out and I can raise private capital. Mm-hmm. Or do unconventional loans and things like that. But if I want traditional mortgages, which are much cheaper,
yeah,
I got to have my taxes squared away. So that's my kind of kick in the ass that I've been giving myself and emphasizing more so the past couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
No longer just I should do my taxes so I don't get audited. That wasn't incentive enough to do my taxes.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of if I find that opportunity and I want to get a mortgage, that's the incentive that I'm using to push myself to do my taxes. So that's what got me through the LLC taxes. Now I'm trying to work on my personal taxes, which I'm going to keep working at.
Good. Gotcha.
So
that's how the world took one in the dick from your fist this week.
I guess that I just got my corporate taxes out of the way and over and done with.
Yeah. All right. So those are two different kinds of accomplishments that we're talking about. It has been a good couple of weeks in, like, across all the areas of life, I would say, since our last TDZ.
How so?
I mean, you know, we joined a new gym.
Oh, yeah.
We picked up racquetball.
Yeah.
Picked up racquetball again, which I think is a great thing.
I was so excited to walk in here and say my weekly dick punching was beating Brett more games in racquetball than he's beaten me.
Yeah.
Is that true, or are we tied now?
It's probably close. I have gotten the last laugh because of the video that Puke shot of you hitting yourself in the racket with in the dick with the racket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Punch your
well. I
the weekly racketings.
I skimmed the tip of my penis with the racquetball racket.
Yeah,
while trying to swing at the ball, and I hit not the ball.
The video is exquisite, and
is it?
I debated posting it because I was like, this really isn't fair.
I haven't seen it.
Well, I said this really isn't fair because it makes it look like I'm the better racquetball player. Like I'm hitting a good shot, and then this guy hits himself in the dick. But I posted on Instagram because no one. I didn't say who you were, and no one, because of the way the video shot, no one can really tell who you are.
Yeah, I don't care.
And so I didn't want to post it in like the Puke in the Gang group. But you could see it, and if you like it, it's very funny.
If I did it, then I deserve to be made fun of for it.
It's one of the best videos.
Okay, well, the world gets to punch me in the dick.
Well, yeah. So I feel like that's good. It's going to help with conditioning. I like the fact that we. Gone back to doing working out 3 days a week. I feel better. I feel like the workouts are more special. My social life has been good. I've made some, I've sort of been reconnecting with somebody that I was very excited about months ago. We talked about this on the other show.
Mm-hmm.
A first date that went really well. And then we kind of became friends and it kind of became a frustrating situation. There were lots of obstacles and, I'm working through that. We're working through that and trying to explore the possibility of you know, being able to move that forward. So that's something that I'm optimistic about. Socially, otherwise.
We call that a frenstration.
Frenstration? What does that mean?
It's a frustrating situation with a friend.
No, this is different. It was frustrating. When these kinds of potentially romantic situations happen, I think if things don't go well, I internalize a lot of the blame. A lot of the failure.
Okay.
Or I accept a lot of the blame and internalize the failure of it as a kind of defect. Like, what am I doing wrong? You know, that kind of thing. What's wrong with me?
Well, I guess frustration could also be applicable to a frustrating situation with a friend who is going through menstruation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Best to just stay away from them. Let them get through it.
That's a Portman 3.
Oh my God. I thought of a Portman 3.
Oh, really?
Because I was listening back to the last episode of the show and... I was talking about this person. She lives in Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
She lives a bit.
Okay, I got one for you.
That's a Portman 3.
Yeah, it is.
So I think we just invented that, which is great.
Yeah.
No one else is doing that. We are really on some other level shit.
I had one today. I was talking to our friend Puke, and I was telling him what I did this morning. So I like to go out exploring, and... I'm trying to make that exploring a little more productive, so I do a couple things. I listen to audiobooks while exploring.
Yeah.
I go places where I might want to invest in real estate, and I explore those areas.
Yeah.
So one area I like is northern West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a beautiful lake surrounded by mountains, and I wanted to explore that area today. Well, that area is considered Morgantown. So
yeah.
I was telling Puke where I was, and I went, yeah, I drove down to Cheat Lake and explore Morgantown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's what I did.
Perfect. It's efficient. It really is efficient. Yeah. But I just like, so, you know, the health and fitness aspect of things, the new gym is good for those reasons. It allows us to add conditioning, gives us access to better stuff. We could swim if we want.
No.
No, you don't want to do that.
No, the locker room, by the way, it's no better than the worst locker rooms that I've seen.
Sure. So social life I talked about, making new connections. There's a little overlap between social life and business life. I've made some good connections related to the show. Home life, it's just feels good to be on top of all my expenses and, you know, all the bills paid, stuff like that. And
I'm happy here. I like it here. I've been here, over 6 months now.
Yep.
You know? And I feel very relaxed and at peace at home. I realize I don't want to live here forever, but I would live here another year. You know? I mean, there's some things with School Sucks that are still a little slow, but things are moving in the right direction. I decided on the summit for the first virtual summit that I'm going to do. I made a list of potential speakers. I started to do an outline. So everything just feels like it's going. And I'm, you know, making good money on the side, doing video work for a group of podcasters that I really like, the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network, which is very much about like sales and marketing. So I'm actually getting paid to learn things I should be learning that I can use on my show.
That's awesome.
Getting paid pretty well too. So, you know, I'd like to, the funding for School Sucks through the AV Club and through Patreon has actually been not increasing. And that's a little scary. Like Patreon took a big hit from all the shit that happened over the last few months. The AV Club's been pretty stagnant for a while because I've been promoting Patreon. So I actually also got approved for something called Subscribestar. And if people do that for $6 a month, they can get this show. And I'm going to be cutting fun clips of us doing like media and cultural commentary. A lot of like Puke in the Gang stuff.
Okay.
Either from bonus content or from the regular show, but not sending people to go back through the regular shows. So for $6 a month, people can get a different look at what I do. So, or a look at something different that I do.
And if that's not enough incentive for you to switch over to Subscribestar, four out of every $6 that Brett gets goes to me.
Is that true?
Sure.
For what?
Well, I don't know. We said it here.
So, yeah, so I'd say things are good on all fronts, but a discomfort that I had was actually a physical discomfort.
Well, before we get into the physical discomfort, just trying to play devil's advocate here. You know, you just went through how everything's good. Everything's pretty, you know, nice and stable and feels good and satisfactory. I guess the possible warning would be don't rest on your laurels, focus on adding more.
No, I agree. And one of the things that I do that's actually helpful is we have these gay little journals, as we call them, the High Performance Habits by Brendan Bouchard.
Yeah, you should be running out of yours by now.
I am getting very close to the end. One of the things that I've been doing, because I don't really use the schedule in it anymore, because I'm such a fan of my block scheduling, which I've really gotten dialed in over the last couple weeks. And it's good because now I have the whole month of February to look back on and see how I'm spending my time, right? So to your point of like, don't rest on your laurels, the old habit I have of feeling like I'm doing work when I'm not doing work, or when I'm not doing the highest leverage work.
Right.
You familiar with Brian Tracy, who wrote, I think he was the guy who wrote 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? Does that ring a bell?
I don't think it was.
No, him. You're right. It was. You sure? Yeah, maybe it wasn't.
No, because I read that and I would recognize the name if you said it.
Right. So anyway, man, you know, I put so many notes in front of me and then the note that I have. I think Brian Tracy was the guy who said, eat that frog. Right.
Okay.
In that. The things that are going to move the needle the most for me.
Stephen Covey
wrote. Covey. So Brian Tracy is another guy who is similar to Stephen Covey. The things that are going to move the needle the most for me with SSP are not going to be the things that are the most fun to do.
Yeah.
And that's just, so eating the frog is this idea of how to, it's kind of building off the block scheduling idea of how to budget time and how to basically apportion time throughout the day. People have advised in the past that get up in the morning and do your most creative work, right?
Do the shit.
No, okay. And that's the idea of eating the frog, right? So if you have to eat a frog in a given day, if you put it off till 5 o'clock and go, oh, five, I got to eat that frog.
Yeah, the whole day is going to suck.
Right. But if you eat that frog at 7 o'clock in the morning, by 9 o'clock, you already forgot about it and you can have a great day.
This used to be my entire life. My entire life was the anticipation of the frog.
Right.
It was, my phone can ring any second and I could have my entire night's sleep ruined, my entire day tomorrow.
When you were the manager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that frog was always just waiting outside my door constantly.
That was like in Magnolia when it rained frogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
Same.
Your life.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
I'd eat all of them.
But there was nothing to learn from it.
No.
It wasn't like, it's raining frogs. What does this mean?
Yeah.
What can we all learn? How does this bring us together?
Nope.
No, it just sucked. Just frog guts everywhere.
But no, yeah, you should get up. First thing you do is eat the frog.
Yeah. So no, I agree. I'm learning that.
I have a question.
Yeah.
It seems from the outside that you have not been sticking to the wake up at 5.
No. Not over the last, what was making that happen was the gym at 6.
Okay.
But we're not doing that anymore.
Right. So because of that, Have you noticed a difference? Are you being less effective sleeping in?
More productive.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Because it was really hard for me to transition in. Like, the gym is such a big event. Mm-hmm. It's 2 hours, right? Yep. It is two, like, get ready, drive there, warm up, work out, drive home, eat something, 2 hours. Okay. So putting that, and it's not like it's easy either, you know? So if that's the first thing that I do every day, it's maybe it's just some kind of flaw in me, but it's very hard to transition into being productive after that. The gym should be the thing, and maybe it's just I'm a creature of habit and it's always been this way. That's the last thing I have to do.
But now we're going to the gym at 4. Mm-hmm. So if you're not getting up at 5.
Yeah, but I'm getting up at 6:30.
Still, that's 9 hours until you're done.
Yeah.
You can do everything you got to do within that 9 hours?
Yeah. I mean, I would like to think that if I'm efficient enough and I'm working 6 days a week, I could do everything in 6 or 7 hours in a day.
Oh.
Of like real work. Yeah. I mean, I don't, there's other ways I could be working 60 hours a week. I don't want to do that.
Right. Yeah, I guess. That's my issue, is I feel like I have to get up early so I can be done enough at gym time.
Right. And that is the goal. And that was the goal with block scheduling, is that it's not about I'm some kind of psycho who needs to put everything I'm doing into blocks of time and stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's about organizing my time and tracking my time. So when it 3 o'clock comes around every day, maybe sometimes it's 4, maybe sometimes it's 5. I don't have to have anything. And if I stay up till 10 or 11, the rest of that time is actually to enjoy life, to socialize, to recreate.
I don't get that.
Enjoying life?
Yeah, what?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
It's not for everybody.
Right. I'll focus elsewhere.
So, but no. So back to your main point about not resting on the laurels. Now I have a month of block scheduling to see like, okay, well, all these blocks are filled, but let's break the blocks into their color-coded categories, which is cool, and then say what's the leverage.
Right.
Of
is this
yeah.
Is this simply activity or is it high-level activity?
Right. So last week there's an example of maybe I put 15 hours of effort, maybe 20 hours of effort into finishing that one podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't move the needle at all.
Right.
It's just another episode. I mean, yep. I get paid for it on Patreon, which is nice, but...
But it brings you enjoyment.
Yeah, it brings me enjoyment,
so that's
good.
That's a hard thing to measure then, because like my relation to this is my enjoying life, quote unquote, something that brings me enjoyment is going and exploring, like I just mentioned.
Sure, I like that too.
If I can put a semi-productivity bend on it, either learning from an audiobook or exploring a real estate market possibly, or just scouting out an area or understanding it more, then I can justify it in my head.
Like, yeah,
I'm not just wasting time simply.
Yeah.
But yeah, how do you determine how many hours you should put into that? Because today I put 4 into it, and I'm sure I could have spent those 4 hours much more productively doing almost anything else.
Well, it's a Saturday. Not that that really means that much, because we don't have like normal 9-to-5 type schedules. But the weekend still, we are conditioned at this point in our life, and it's not something we can't uncondition ourselves from, but we are conditioned to at this point in our life. Saturday comes, it's time for, you know, cereal and cartoons.
You know, I think a big help to me has been shifting out of that mindset.
I could understand that too, but, and it doesn't have to be Saturday, but it's something that I think you do have to allot time for. Like that... hobbies and enrichment.
Sure.
And, you know, we could categorize this under enrichment, is something that you need to do to have a balanced life. If you're not enriching yourself, if you don't have downtime, if you don't have R&R, what's the point of life? Like, what are you doing all the other stuff for?
I'm going to get into this a little later.
Okay.
So move on for now, but yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, that's...
I'm not going to answer that question right now is what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, what do we got to do before you answer that question?
Oh, okay.
I mean, like, that's, I think the only incident that I had that I can go really quickly through, and then we could just devote the rest of the time to that question, is a physical discomfort. I woke up in the middle of the night, an hour after going to bed on, I think it was Monday night.
Sorry, I'm going to stop you again because I know where this is going and I want to get back real quick. How are you going to maximize that higher level activity in your block scheduling versus simple activity? Like, what steps are you going
to
take?
It just has to be, it's the frog eating. It has to be front loaded in the day.
Okay.
And it actually relates to, I think, this other thing, because this other thing, even though it appeared to be physical, I would say was the manifestation of something mental.
Okay.
I woke up, I think it was Monday night into Tuesday morning, about an hour after I went to bed. And I had this pain in my chest, left side, like right to the left of my sternum.
And what did you...
Like sharp, like a stabbing pain.
What had you done that day? Like, what did you do that day?
I think we'd worked out that day. I think we'd done, like, chest that day. So I think it's that. And then I'm like, oh, it's probably gas. That's always what it is when I have chest pain. And then I realize I'm covered in sweat. Now, I think it's morning because I'm, like, not tired.
Right.
But I've only... And then I look at the clock and I realize I only went to bed an hour ago. And I'm wide awake, like, I could get up and start my day.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the chest pain. And then I feel it in my arm, and then I'm sweating, and I'm like, okay, this is all the symptoms of a thing. So I drive to the hospital, which is right, fortunately, very, very close, right down the road. And I sit in my car for a half hour, just debating whether or not I want to deal with all this shit.
Because
I'm like, I'm probably fine. I've done this to myself before. So I go in, I get all these tests done, EKG, x-rays, blood tests. They're like, you're fine. Your heart is healthy and strong. Blah, blah, blah. Everyone is very nice. It's a very pleasant experience. They give me blankets. They ask me how I'm doing. It was just like, hospital can be a very bad experience.
Yeah.
People can be very shitty in hospitals, especially in the middle of the night.
Sure.
A man was taken out by security for being mouthy. That happened. But I was fine with it.
What did he say?
Oh, his mother was there. He was a troubled man, but he was there with his mother. And he started yelling at the doctor. And he's like, you're being rude. I'm going to have security take you out. He goes, God, get me your boss. You know how people do that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like us. And like five security guards came and escorted him out. But I went home and it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. I managed to fall back asleep. I woke up at like 11 or noon or something. And I came in here and I just sat and I thought about this. And I thought like, okay, maybe I just freaked myself out. I'm kind of a hypochondriac. But when those physical events happen, they are kind of advertisements for emotional things that aren't being accessed. So I think that now that I know that I'm fine and it was some sort of psychosomatic event, and not the first one I've had, as I mentioned, I kind of come in here and I start doing an inventory and I look at everything I've been doing and I say, all right, there isn't enough leverage, right? Because I'm making myself more busy.
Right.
I'm more, not obsessing, but I'm being more focused on managing time. And there's always this ongoing thing. And I'm not doing the high leverage stuff. I'm not doing the move the needle stuff as much as I need to. I'm getting some of it done. I'm moving things forward that I've never moved forward before. But if I got up in the morning and ate that frog, then there wouldn't be, I believe that there wouldn't be that accumulation of open loops or stress or lack of satisfaction where I'm still kind of telling myself the story, oh, look at all the stuff I'm getting done. Look at how I'm managing my time. And then there's also this, like, if you use the calendar and you break a commitment to yourself, because I'm keeping an honest record of what I'm doing. Like, if I just fuck off for an hour, I remove whatever the block is. I leave the block blank.
Yep.
And it happens. That is also like a source of stress and frustration.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of like rethink it and just say, all right, well, how can I, instead of just saying, well, I should take a week off because I shouldn't do that. How do I adjust this?
Wouldn't that be an anxiety filled week?
No. I mean, nothing really changes. I get paid whether I work or not.
Right. But all the open loops are just hanging out there. That wouldn't drive you insane? If you just chose every time to not address anything hanging over your head.
Well,
I feel
the thing that stresses me out most, like I have actually lost touch with some people because all these like ongoing communication threads stress me out.
Mm-hmm.
Like email somebody, they email you back. You have to, their email requires another response. Times, I don't know, 300. It's just too much. I can't deal with that. So when it comes to open loop stressors, it's communicating with other people, which I have to do a lot of, which is the worst one for me.
Okay.
But I think that it's possible, depending on what it was, depending how much stuff I had on my plate. Like right now, I have work for other people to do, which, as I've said in previous discomfort zones, I like because it's an external kind of accountability. It's an external imposition on my time.
Right.
That makes me have to structure
deadlines
my time.
That affect other people.
Right. And when I am more aware of time and the limited nature of time, I'm more productive. So I just want to, like we've talked about before, every single productivity related thing is an evolving, changing process.
Right? Yeah.
So I think I made the right steps in January and February to make some positive changes. And now they just need some adjustment to this idea of eating this frog. Getting up in the morning before the sun comes up, not dilly dally, doing a faster morning routine, you know, very simple 3-4 things. Come in here with coffee and grind out a couple hours of hard, often unpleasant work.
That relates a lot to what I've experienced the past couple weeks too.
But that needs to be a routine. It needs right. to be every day, like Monday through Friday. That's how my day starts. That's the gym, right? Like, I like the gym. I think it's fun to lift weights.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see how people would think, oh, this is uncomfortable. I'm holding weights over me that if I drop them on my face would definitely change the way my face looks. You know, that kind of, there are discomforts in that.
Sure.
And I've even talked about that on the show, that you push through those discomforts and you get rewards. So that 6 to 8 gym time just needs to be 6 to 8, like exactly the same thing that the gym does. You work hard. You don't like the work a lot of the time. You leave, you know, that engagement not feeling like you really changed anything. But over a week, over 2 weeks, you look back and clearly things have changed.
No, I think this is absolutely 100% true.
I just need to apply that to my professional
life.
To
everything.
Yeah.
Before it's a habit. So, no, this is, you know, looking back retrospectively over the past year, I started this by creating these habit stacks and morning routines. We talked about these early on in the discomfort zone,
yeah.
right? And I implemented your method of the morning routine, kind of. And what I did and what I consistently did was financial.
Yeah.
It was my AM review stack. It was the financial stack.
Mm-hmm.
It was, for the first time in my life, going through and checking up on every transaction, checking every account, making sure every bill was paid. Now, normally I would just set them to auto pay and forget about them, but now I can actually identify them, see where money's going, and check on my accounts. And just as I grew my financial burden and started opening up businesses, there was a lot more of this. It became a lot more cumbersome, and it would have been very easy to just keep myself within a level of, you know, okay, I'm bringing in at least as much as I'm spending. Let's just maintain that and not worry about it.
Yeah.
But what yeah. I did is every morning I was going through and I would check every account and I would check off the box for that account. And I had a link to it in Evernote. So it would link to the webpage. So I linked my Capital One credit card account. I linked my Huntington Bank checking account. I linked to this. I linked to that. And it forced me to go through and check everything, and I would write down the balances in Evernote every single day and the date. That way, if I skipped a day, I knew, okay, I skipped this account yesterday. I have to get back to it today. So I did that first thing in the morning, every morning, and now it's become habit. It's no longer a frog. It's now something that...
It's a prince.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's something that kind of relaxes me, and I know I can quickly get through it, and I know I'm on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer the frog. The gym, for as consistent as I went to the gym, when we were doing 3 days a week for the bulk of last year, it was always a huge problem for me to get to the gym. I'd be very upset about it. It would mess my entire day up, and it was tough. Then we started going 6 days a week in the morning.
What are we, nuts?
Right. And that, for as bad as it was that was the frog in the morning. And that made going to the gym not as hard after just a couple weeks of that being the frog. Now we're going in the afternoon again, 3 days a week, and it's not hard to go like it used to be. Now I feel like I'm the one saying, hey, let's go to the gym.
Yeah. Right? Well, wait, I am too.
Yeah, but I still don't want to. It's just not hard anymore. Does that make sense?
It's like the highlight of my day. What does that mean? Is that a problem?
No, that's great. I wish something that I hated was the highlight of my day.
Yeah.
Like, I wish something that was awful was no longer awful for me. But what I'm saying is going to the gym was harder until I made it the morning frog.
Okay.
Now that it has been the morning frog, I can do it. So now what's the next thing that's the morning frog? I don't know that it's one thing every day. It might be a different thing each day, but maybe it's a high priority item that is awful
mm-hmm.
to do every day. And at the end of the last discomfort zone, the end of the last meeting, I committed to trying out this polyphasic sleep.
Oh, Jesus.
Right?
Yeah, you did.
I mean, okay, first off.
Before you get into that, sure. One more kind of reinforcement. We can go back to our gay little journals.
Uh-huh. Mine's been open this whole episode, and I'm going to dive in here in a minute.
Just flip to any daily page. So we talked about this in an episode of The Discomfort Zone from last season, season one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so two-page layout, right? Four columns. The two middle columns are a calendar that runs from about 6 a.m. to 7:30 p.m.
8 p.m.
Yeah. And then... left-hand column on the left page is basically a morning journal of 10 questions that you answer. And then on the right-hand column on the right page, evening journal, 6 questions that you answer, and then a daily habits scorecard. What is so funny?
I'm sorry. I'm reading this date, the 18th of February, and you're talking about these columns. I'm looking at them as you read through what they are. I'm just following along with my eyeballs.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm reading along. And I read number 7 in the morning mindset. And the standard template is, it says, one bold action I could take today is dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, what did I write? And I read this, and it just it just says, beat me. And I go, what the fuck is beat me? Then I went, why is T, M, and E capitalized? And I went, oh, there's spacing. It's B, A, T, M, and E. Technician, manager, and entrepreneur. But I just read it. It looks like beat me.
Okay.
And it made me laugh a whole bunch for no reason. Sorry. But you asked what was funny, and that's what it was. I could have stayed silent.
Yeah. I'm glad you shared.
It would have made you real uncomfortable.
So one of the, and then across the top, above all this, it says, today's message to myself, you know, and you write a little message to yourself each day.
Give me an example of what you're writing in there.
I don't know. Let's go to some random day.
Because this is the part that I have trouble with and I don't like. This is all notes to self sort of thing. Because really, all I want to do is write down like, hey, asshole, do this. I don't want to be like, oh, you're the best Andrew you can be.
No,
you're
it doesn't have to
Andrew
be.
You're a better Andrew today than you ever have been.
Make each hour the best it can be. Smaller pieces of time realize it's precious.
Okay, that's kind of along the lines of what I was saying. That I don't feel good about writing that kind of thing.
218. Tell your friends you're gay. sustain my energy and enthusiasm this week. So that must have been a Monday. Stay in motion. New tasks are easier to add when I'm already busy. Like, it's easier to take on new movements when you're already in motion.
Yeah.
Right? If you're on the couch covered in crumbs mm-hmm. and somebody throws a basketball at you, you're like, what the fuck? Right? But if you're already jogging,
crumbs everywhere.
You're jogging through the neighborhood and somebody goes, hey, catch. You go, yeah, thanks, Steve.
Or you can just punch throw it back. The basketball right back at him.
Yeah. Cool stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that kind of idea. I believe that is true. The whole point of this was at the end of each day, after you answer the 6 questions in the evening journal, there's something called a daily habit scorecard. And one of the things that I've been writing to myself in the today's message to myself, the first thing that you write in the journal each morning is read the fucking scorecard before you start your day.
Oh, yeah.
Keep the scorecard in mind as your day progresses. So the scorecard, you're scoring yourself 1 to 5 on 6 areas of life. Number 1 is clarity. I knew my why and lived intentionally today. So if you read that in the morning, right? Because then if you read it at 10 o'clock at night, you go, oh, fuck, I forgot about clarity. But if you read it first thing in the morning, it can, and you make a habit of doing that, it supports all the other stuff that we've been saying. Energy. I manage my mental and physical energy well today. I usually always do a pretty good job with that. Necessity. I felt it was necessary to be my best and made success a must. Sorry, the microphone is in the way of my line of sight. Productivity. I worked on things that mattered most today. That's where I find myself giving a low score.
Okay.
Influence. I guided or treated others well today. That's usually between a 3 and a 5 for me. Courage. I shared my real self, thoughts, and feelings today. That's usually a 4 or 5.
Really?
I don't hold anything back.
Wow. I'm usually a 1 or 2.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. You got secrets.
Oh, yeah. I got problems.
Wow. So I felt that as we talk about eating this frog, that could be an extra push in the direction of getting that frog down, is to remember those things at the morning. Those are the basically the high performance habits.
Yeah.
It's supportive of the whole thing.
Yes. My only problem with that is I don't want to make the courage one the frog. I don't want to make the... Okay, I don't want to make the courage one the frog.
You don't even have to. That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is that reading that in the morning reminds you of, like, oh, the things that move the needle for me are not going to be the funnest things to do.
Right.
And instead of just saying that to myself, because that's a shitty thing to say, here's, like, four of these six things are actually helpful in motivating me to do that. Right?
All right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to change that today's message to myself to simply today's frog.
Today's frog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could...
today's frog, tomorrow's habit.
Yeah.
It's the name of this meeting.
Okay, I like that.
I don't know. I'm going to keep playing with this journal, but I think I'm going to make it more my own as opposed to following this template.
I do feel it's like very a follower tedious. Following yeah. somebody else's template. And I think I could. All right. So if we are reviewing this, because we did do a whole show raving about this, even though we understood it was a little bit gay at the time.
And it still is. It's still very. I mean,
it's gay.
I'm looking
now.
At the 18th as well. And I'm just, you know, this is beat me.
One thing I can get excited about today, I could just change that to like three things I'm grateful for. You know, which I think would be better.
Sometimes that one's easy for me. Sometimes it's like, I don't know, to hopefully accomplish this one thing I have to do today.
Number two, which is a two-part question. If one word could describe the kind of person I want to be today, that word is blank and why. You know, who am I? Stuart Smalley?
Yeah, really.
That one. Somebody who needs me on my A game today. I like that. Ooh, Nick R. Who's Nick R? That's not our Nick R.
Yeah.
No. Oh. This was Nick Runlett. He was a guest on my show.
Oh. Sorry.
My God.
What?
If I had to live my life being on my A game according to Nick R.
You would be on top of your shit.
Oh, but I'd also be so stressed out.
On that day, I wrote me.
I've done that.
Yeah.
I've done that. Situation that could stress me out or trip me up, I just waste time trying to think of one a lot of the times.
Yeah, I wrote not following schedule.
Mine sometimes have to do with you.
Because this is the... Really?
Yeah, like Andrew changes plans.
See, I
and the way I deal with it is, it's okay. Andrew's busy.
I'm sorry. This was the first day that I tried to implement a version of your block scheduling, where I tried to schedule out my day.
Yeah.
So that's why I wrote, not following a schedule is what could trip me up.
Sure.
And the way I would deal with it would be to redo the schedule and get back into it.
Yeah.
And then someone I could surprise with a note, gift, or sign of appreciation is Brett.
Really?
And I bought him a clock.
Oh, wow, Andrew. That's pretty fucking hardcore. And there it is on the screen behind you.
Yeah. And, you know, so I interrupt your day, but you end up on my my note surprise gift.
Part. Oh, it's not like you've never been that.
And then
you've never been my number five.
Also, jumping to the top right corner, the person I need to lead or connect with today and how to do it well, that's always tough, too.
Yeah, I leave
more
that
often
one
than
blank
not,
a lot.
I'm just like, Brett, I don't know, be positive so he has a good time.
Number five actually did lead to me reconnecting with a couple of important people.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And it's also helped me stay in touch with family members better because they appear there sometimes. But yeah, I think this could be modified and simplified. It's not taking up a huge amount of my time. Like, I can do the morning and night journal like 5 minutes each.
Yeah, I started spending more time on it because I am now scheduling my day on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which... I've had mild success with, but it's at least helping me set expectations more realistically based on what I'm scheduling for my day compared to reality.
Right.
And on real bad days, my journal looks like a retarded four-year-old drew a bunch of pictures on it because of all the arrows and adjustments I have to make.
Interesting you would say that, because look at the opening page of my journal.
It's a retarded four-year-old.
I'll show the cam too.
What is that?
It's my niece, who I think is four, not retarded as far as what we know so far. But I said, do you want to draw me a picture? I said, you should draw it in this book because I look at this book every day and I'll think of you.
Well, there you go.
And so she drew that picture for me. But that's actually, Andrew, that's why I use Google Calendar, because like if things change, first of all, I want everything incorporated in one place. Sometimes I want to copy and paste like things out of Evernote into the notes of an event in Google if it's a meeting or something, just so it's all in one place.
Yeah, I get
if I need to copy an address. The other thing too is because my schedule changes a lot. Like if we have plans and they change or something needs to happen at a different
time.
Andrew
comes and fucks your day
up. No big deal. I just drag things around.
Right.
Right. So I don't want to be crossing things out on there when I can just be easily dragging things with no trace in Google.
Yeah. My issue with that is
let Google do it.
My electronic calendar is for appointments and very, very heavy duty reminders.
I understand that. And that's actually how I use the one here. If there's only like if it's a hard time commitment, like a meeting, the gym, that stuff goes in there.
Right. I mean, that stuff goes in here too.
Yeah.
But. So, polyphasic sleep.
Yes.
So,
how many phases?
Two.
So you only wake
sometimes
up once.
Yeah. So, we did the discomfort zone on February 17th. Today is March 2nd. So I've had some time to experiment, and I'll tell you, I failed more often than not. But it's not like I set an alarm to get myself up.
Okay.
I just thought if I wake up and I'm conscious enough to think to myself, "Hey, dickhead. Get out of bed, go pee, and do some work."
Wow.
I'll go do it.
Yeah.
So first night, no go. However, I did nap from 1 p.m. until 3, and I wrote, "I could have made today even better if I didn't nap." So I thought, well, surely I'll wake up in the middle of the night tonight.
Yeah.
And actually, looking here, I woke up, and the first thing I did was polyphasic sleep. Napped Monday afternoon, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Wake, 12:04 a.m. Planner, this thing, journal,
yeah,
until 12:28. Trash and clean and vacuum until 1:10 while listening to an audiobook. Then GTD weekly review until 1:51.
Holy shit.
And then back to bed.
And you just fell right back asleep?
Yeah, I have no problem falling asleep. And if I could have stayed
you
up longer...
You just sit in front of a giant TV on full volume. Yeah.
No, it's not on full volume. If I could stay up longer, I would, and I would just do more.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a success. I got up at 6 that morning. So I slept in till 6, but I justified it because I was up for a couple hours being productive.
All right, let me ask you this. Have you researched how much sleep you're supposed to be getting? Like, because as long as you can complete 2 full cycles of sleep, you should be okay.
It's a range and it varies from person to person, but 6 to 8 hours is pretty average for people.
Okay.
And it's not like I'm getting less sleep. I nap.
But 6 to 8 hours. All right, hold on. 6 to 8 hours is is average for people.
Yeah.
People
of my age.
Okay, but that still covers a lot of different types of people.
Yeah.
Right? You're very physically active, and you do not have the best diet as far as like...
I have the best diet of my life.
You do have the best diet of your life. But
I definitely go and have a cigarette or two during these waking
hours.
Course. In the middle of the night.
Of course. Yeah. But you...
I wish I could just sit at my computer having a cigarette. That would be... Wait till summer. Then I'm going to be so productive when
I
can smoke and compute.
Yeah. I've seen you do it.
Yeah.
It's a balance to consider where if you're probably not eating enough food for the activity you're doing, sleep is not something to skimp on.
Sure. And I'm not. Honestly, I got tired. I took a nap.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I woke up and I did work.
Yeah.
And I went back to bed and slept in. Like I didn't like kill myself to meet this crazy schedule or anything. It's what was more natural, honestly. So the next night failed because I got really, really drunk. Went out, stayed up late, stayed up very, very late. And I could have made today even better if I didn't drink so much.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
What? I like that.
A couple nights went by, didn't do it. Weekly review. So I only did it once that week. Then... another night on the 23rd, wake up 3:39, and this one I've done my dreams. I had all these dreams.
Yeah,
and I did planner until 4:20, and I think I must have done a weekly review then too in the planner because it took more time. And then I processed my inboxes and just cleared everything. So when I woke up in the morning, I could just jump right into actions. It was great. Got up at 4:30 and started my taxes.
Jesus, this is amazing. I'm amazed by this. I feel like if I woke up in the middle of the night and nobody else was around.
Oh, I'm sorry. This night, I didn't go back to bed. I got up at 3:39 and just stayed up.
Okay.
Yeah, that felt pretty good. So yeah. Anyway, this polyphasic sleep thing, I don't think it's an every night thing, but over 2 weeks, here's another one. 12:36 to 12:55 planner, 12:55 to 1:10 weekly goals, 1:10 to 1:45 actions.
How do you know when to wake up?
I don't.
You just wake up in the middle of the night.
Well, I have a heated mattress pad, so when I go to bed, the bed is cold initially. I turn the heated mattress pad on, and I go, oh, I can't wait for this to warm up. I better crank it up super high. And then I wake up in the middle of the night, and I go, God, it's so hot. Mm-hmm. And if I go, God, it's so hot, I go, oh, well, now I can go sit at my computer and cool down. So that's how it's worked out.
CV Raman in the chat says, Lieutenant Andrew, raise polyphasic sleep shields. Probably Star Trek or something. He says, I think it's great that a 40-year-old man is using gay as a synonym for stupid while discussing semi-serious topics. Thank you.
Yeah. Good. That's how else do you entertain yourself while trying to be better?
Exactly.
Right. If we just sat here and we tried to be better all the time, it would be horribly boring. The 28th, woke up 2:18, planner to 2:33. 3:15, I did a bunch of quotes that were my frog. I had to quote a bunch of customers. It was going to be awful. This was a couple days ago. But I got them out of the way, so when I got up in the morning, I could just email everybody and go, oh, here you go, ahead of schedule. Aren't I the best person you ever dealt with?
I can't believe, this is unbelievable.
And then the very next night, 3:02, woke up to 3:19, planner. 4 a.m., more quotes. 4:08, cigarette. And then I must have fallen asleep right after that. So it was only like an hour and 10 minutes that time. And then I didn't get up until 6:30.
Well, I think that's reasonable.
Right. So I can justify sleeping in a little bit, especially if I get up and I have some productivity the night before. So I really like that. But one thing I did realize is any alcohol consumed prevents me from waking up and doing much of anything that night.
While you're also sleeping shittily.
Yeah, probably.
Now, I think that this is actually an interesting question about the alcohol, because when you drink too much, you don't get deep sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So you sleep, you could even pass out, but you don't get, like, you don't go through all the cycles of sleep. So is there something about knowing, I guess this would take practice. I mean, there's obviously a science to this, and people have obviously written about it. So I'll do more research, because somebody actually asked me to research this for the show before, because they said it was like a more natural thing for humans to do.
The polyphasic sleep?
Yeah. Or biphasic sleep, they called it.
Yeah, I mean, it felt pretty natural.
Which is what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it wasn't, like, I didn't force myself at any point to do anything.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I only did it when I woke up and, like, had to pee. Or woke up and because I was too hot and needed to, you know, turn the thermostat down or too cold or whatever it might. Something woke me up. So rather than be mad about it and go back to bed or lay in bed and watch an episode of something, I just decided, hey, let's go be productive, because why not?
Does an alarm wake you up in the morning?
Yes.
Okay.
Usually, but I can also sleep through it, because the need to wake up is internally imposed. It's like your life. You don't have to get up and go to an appointment, usually.
Usually not. No.
Right? So most days I don't either. And if I do, it's not like my alarm necessarily coincides with that appointment time.
Right.
Like if I get up at 5, I might not have an appointment till 9 a.m. I don't have to leave till 8.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I'm getting up so I can get ready and go to my appointment. I'm getting up so I can get my shit done, then get ready and go to my appointment.
Yeah.
So I don't ever feel bad about sleeping through my alarm, as long as it's not excessive. So if I don't get up till 6 or 6:30 sometimes, which was evident in the last couple of weeks, that's fine. As long as I was not, like the night that I stayed up late drinking, and I woke up the next morning at 6, mm-hmm. and then went back to bed. That was bad, but I was hungover and whatever. But the once every 4 months that I do that, I can feel okay about, because the other days I still am getting up early.
Gotcha.
Self-imposed, not external imposed.
So before we have to wrap today's show up, one more thing that we have to come back to, because we're going to have to transition into doing a whole different show very soon, within the hour.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're watching us live, we'll just leave the stream open so you guys can keep chatting, and then we'll start that show.
But we won't tell Puke when he gets here, so everything you see from him.
Oh, no, we can't, because YouTube cuts it off after 3 hours, so we'll have to stop the stream. But we'll come right back, everybody.
Yeah.
If we disappear, you know, babies don't know that.
What?
I'm not calling listeners babies. When something disappears, when something isn't there anymore.
That it'll come back?
Right. They don't know.
Mm.
Takes a while to figure that out. Fuck. Okay, so you said something earlier in the conversation about you're not supposed to enjoy life. And then you said you'd get into it later.
Oh.
So I was curious about that.
Okay. You know, thinking more and more about the why, right?
Your the why of life.
Or the why of
the day.
What you're doing.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Or an activity, a pursuit.
So thinking about it, and I am enjoying growth and I want to enjoy success, but there's more of a why beyond that. Like, what do I really want to enjoy? Do I want to build a life for me and a partner, so on and so forth? Maybe, maybe not. I can't identify that because I'm not in that position.
Right.
But what is one goal that I've been putting off, and that is getting my teeth fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So that has been this huge dollar amount that just seemed forever in the future that I would never achieve.
Right.
And because that has been out there but undefined for so long, I thought, okay, what can I do to really incentivize myself to do this? Like the tax situation. Okay, the taxes have to get done, but I was not doing them. Now that I want something else that has to do with the taxes, now I can do them.
Mm-hmm.
So to get my teeth fixed, I can go to where my dad lives in Nicaragua and pay a lot less money for probably better medical care and get it done.
Right.
So, but I don't want to take a whole trip there just for that. So what do I want to do? Here's what I want to do. I've been watching these shows. The Grand Tour is a good example. They go to far off remote places and go drive to crazy areas and do things. Right.
Yeah.
Other people do this. They're not the only ones. Believe it or not, other people have driven on roads. Some of them have filmed themselves. They make money filming themselves driving to remote locations. I watch these assholes go and drive in Alaska and Peru and Nepal, and they're not doing anything that I haven't already done in my life. But I realized I've always enjoyed doing this. I did it this morning.
Yeah.
Just in West Virginia, not Nepal.
Right.
But I've driven on these types of roads before, whether it be in Costa Rica or the Great North Woods of Maine. But I did it alone. Doing things alone, not as fun. So my goal, and maybe you can jump in on this, maybe you want to join in.
I need my teeth fixed too.
Well, okay. Well, I didn't even think about the teeth part. I'm just saying joining for the journey.
Yeah.
Within 2 years, I want to have enough money, plenty of money to do this, and combine this with a trip where I either buy or rent or figure out some way to get some kind of four-wheel drive truck Jeep vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I have this pickup truck. Maybe I fix it up a little bit and just use that and just dedicate that truck to this one journey and until it dies. But travel from somewhere like Colombia to Nicaragua.
Yeah.
Or here through Mexico down to Nicaragua and make a big adventure journey. And the culmination is I spend a week in Nicaragua getting my teeth fixed and hang out with my dad and explore Nicaragua. Or
you talk about driving all the way down there?
Yeah, so that's quite the journey.
It is quite the journey.
That's a couple weeks of nonstop driving.
It is.
So Colombia to Nicaragua, less driving, less distance, safer because it's not Mexico.
Right, because we wouldn't want to get our teeth fixed and then be killed in some kind of...
No, get teeth fixed when you're done. Get killed first.
I wonder if that's cheaper. Oh, yeah, because if you're dead, they can just put like wooden ones in there or
right.
something. Yeah.
Yeah. But, or worst case, kind of backup plan, if this is all not doable for whatever reason, because I don't want to do it alone, then maybe I could create a situation where, all right, I'll go to Nicaragua. My dad will need a new vehicle at some point. Maybe I can get him to throw in a third of the cost of a new vehicle or half, and I'll throw in the other half if before he gets that vehicle. I can take it out and thrash it the whole way around the country.
Yeah.
For a week or two.
Okay.
And then I'll give it to him. So he gets a, you know, semi-abused vehicle, but for half price.
Uh-huh.
So it might be worth it.
Okay, sure.
So there's I can figure out some way to make this happen. Because I doubt I can just rent a vehicle and drive it from one country to another.
Okay.
So I either use my vehicle, which already exists, which is quite rugged, or I go buy a beater vehicle, plenty of spare parts and spare tires and a toolkit to bring on the road to fix it roadside.
Interesting idea. Yeah. This has potential.
But no, I'm serious. Like, what do I want to do if I have enough money to do it? This is what I want to do.
I think that's the thing. I think you need something like that. That's clear.
So you in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Save up.
No, well, yeah, I mean, I'm always trying to save a little money anyway, so I have a practice of doing that. This would be more, but it would be, but this is also fucking ridiculous. So
why is it ridiculous?
Because it's your thing. And you don't think it's ridiculous. I'm like, oh, that's pretty ridiculous.
No, it should be our thing. How much recording can you get done from all these new experiences from the road?
A lot. And I think that'd be great. I'd probably get a lot of great, funny Instagram videos, too. But it is also, like, just if you think about the proposition of it, like, the things that I would do with money, this would, this is like a fuck you money kind of thing. In a way, to me, it feels that way. Like, it might be your highest ideal of how to spend that money, but I'm thinking, like, yeah, I'd like to, in 2 years, just have so much disposable income while still being responsible that I could do this, and the benefit is I get to spend money on something I do need to do, which is to get a nice set of pearly whites.
Right.
Or pearly straights.
No, think about it more like this. How many people spend their extra money on travel?
A good portion.
Okay. So why is this so extreme then? Why is this so rare? We're just, I'm just lumping myself in with those people.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, travel.
Because I hear about these people who, like, oh, I spend all my free time traveling, or my goals are to travel the world and do all these things. And it's like, all right, what are you doing? You're going and you're staying in an expensive hotel and doing the same thing you could do in any city in anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Maybe you're eating weird food.
Yeah, yeah.
You spent thousands of dollars to do that. I would rather not spend that money and just stick around here because this city's better than that shitty city anyway.
Right.
But then I thought, no, how do you travel and make it actually enjoyable and fun and make it more of an experience? Like, I go through these dating sites. These girls are petting elephants and stuff, going on missions.
Those are just zoos.
Right. They're just
zoos. Or they're in the Peace Corps.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're not doing it right. I can do it better. This is a way to do it better. And guess what? It's no more expensive than just planting yourself in a fair to Midland hotel for 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Or going on a cruise.
I agree.
This is a better way to do it.
No,
I have done versions of this, and this was my favorite part of any trip. I spent months in Costa Rica. The best parts of that trip were the times that I spent alone, literally driving my dad's old shitty 92 Hyundai Elantra as far into the woods as I could until I could not go any further.
On roads?
Yep.
Okay.
Mud. What's considered a road there is not what's considered a road here.
Right, right, right.
So then I rented a motorcycle, and I could explore deeper into the road, into the woods, because when I did get stuck, I could just move the motorcycle.
Sure.
And get unstuck. So that was the best part. Unfortunately, I did it alone, which made it a whole lot less enjoyable and fun. I didn't chronicle any of it. I didn't document any of it. I survived.
Mm-hmm.
And I did shit that was way more dangerous than I would do now.
Yeah.
So I'll be safer about it, smarter about it. I'll have money to enjoy things along the way, and hopefully someone to enjoy them with.
Mm.
And I record a podcast now. That can be part of it. You like doing videos. That can be part of it.
Yeah, we should get a third guy.
All right, but we can't use my truck.
Driving it from here.
That would be the option if we use my truck. Or yeah. We could ship it to...
Colombia. And drive north.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's appealing.
And Colombia, for those of you who don't know, it went from a super dangerous place to a super nice touristy place.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Indeed.
That's why Colombia is appealing. Because I thought, well, what about like Brazil? And it's a lot further away. And Brazil, I feel like it had its time.
It might still be having a little bit of its time. But
I feel like it's just crowded.
It is crowded. They do. I believe that their economy was strengthening and now it is weakening. But I could be wrong about that. I could have that backwards. So, yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk more about that in the days and weeks and months to come. I like this idea.
Okay. But yeah, I'm setting my sights on that. And once I have a good portion of money making me more money.
Mm-hmm.
Anything excess will go to that.
That's my thinking exactly. So we're both kind of pursuing the same goal with using money or current work now to make money in a passive way in the future. So yes. You guys ready to, if you support this plan, put in the chat a list of phone numbers for Nicaraguan dentists. So, all right, let's call that a show.
Well, what are we accountable for?
Mine's gonna
track our frogs, both of us.
Track frogs. Track
frog
our frogs.
Tracking.
Yeah, frog tracking. Nicaraguan frog tracking.
Sure.
On the Discovery Channel. Okay, thanks for watching us live, everybody. Nice turnout for the live show
today.
Oh,
really?
Thanks
I didn't have the chat in front of me.
Oh, it's all right. It's just
my gay little journal.
A handful of people chatting. Any other comments worth reading before we wrap this up? Oh, Jack says, don't want to interrupt the show. What is a good resource for learning about block scheduling? I've actually been tentatively planning a show about it, and my goddamn Windows 10 computer restarted again without my permission, so I'm sorry my Evernote is not open. Otherwise, I could have pulled that up for you and pasted it into the chat. But that your question motivates me. Maybe I actually will dig into doing that show. And before, I'm trying to talk and look for something now, and both of those things are not going very well, I can tell. So maybe after we wrap this show, I will
find
that link.
This out there, too. We have a listener, Jay, who has been writing us in a group chat called Discomfortberg.
Mm-hmm.
And he is doing a few things, trying to create a healthier lifestyle, small victories, you know, through discomfort, and some real estate stuff. So I would like to, we talked about it before, but bringing a listener and their issues in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give a listener an accountability.
Okay, sure.
So Jay, I don't know if we're going to do a whole show on this or anything, maybe just a portion of a show or a standalone, but I want you to format your issues, your problems, your discomforts, your dick punchings, discomforts, accountabilities, all of that, into a format similar to this show. Maybe we'll do a brief or truncated episode with you on Skype.
I've talked to Jay before, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah. He actually, when I did focus groups a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
he was in one of the focus groups.
What was a focus group?
They were for like course or project ideas.
Okay.
So I would bring like four people together and just have them go through a bunch of questions.
Cool.
So I have them all. I was actually, and I realized that I was cleaning out the show computer, the big computer today, and I came across all those files.
Oh, he's also the same Jay that was asking me about car advice.
Ah, a dual listener, crossover listener, School Sucks and Puke in the Gang, the most special people.
Yeah, the best people.
So, all right, everybody, thank you for listening to Season 2, Meeting 3 of The Discomfort Zone, title something with frogs in it. And if you're watching us live, we'll be back at 3 p.m.
Ish.
Ish. With, just a barn burner of a show, I'm sure. The other show's been really amazing. People should be listening to it.
Yeah, if you're not, you really should. Give it, you know, at least a couple hundred episodes, though.
Give it a couple hundred episodes.
Before you tune out.
Right. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Take care. The clock is ticking.